This is a podcast from Minute Media.
All aboard!
We play. That's what we do. We don't talk, we play. You come to Foxborough, it's going to be snowing, it's going to be cold. Come on in here. You want to say all you want? You want to change the rules? Change them. We still play, and we win. That's what we do. Malcolm, go!
Century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Screams from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music. No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
Boom, it's the Malcolm Go Podcast special edition. Special edition, July 20th, 2022. Tyler in studio for the special edition. Kenneth calling in from Arkansas as per usual. The boys are buzzing this week. Tony's had the diarrhea since Tuesday. He's fighting off a possible COVID infection, but nothing can get in my way. Nothing can dim my light, ladies. Your boy was quote tweeted by the GOAT, which is something I think Drake would say. Like, that could be a good Drake line. Quote tweeted by the GOAT. Can you hear Drake saying that?
He gets a retweet. He's already putting himself in Drake wears.
I can already see him on an album cover on top of some building in Boston. The Hancock. Be on top of the Hancock with just my little tootsies hanging over. Quote tweeted by the GOAT. That's my Drake. By the way, I realize that I can do a Mad Dog impression pretty good. And I'm not going to do it here because I think people would laugh at it. But
no, I want to hear the Mad Dog. You can't just say I can do a Mad Dog impression and give me nothing.
You want to hear the Mad Dog?
All right, let's hear about week four. The Jets are 1-3.
No. I've already got it. I can't improv it. I have to do my one thing because I saw him do it. The Boston Celtics, the top five Boston Celtics of all time. Havlicek, you've got Larry Bird, Havlicek, and Mount Rushmore. Bill Russell, you got Bill Russell, and you can't give away Kevin Garnett. I don't want to hear about Paul Pierce. Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, what have you done? You haven't done anything. Bill Russell's got 11 championships.
That's not bad.
Thanks. I thought it's good.
That's not bad. Really, I like that.
I'm going to be honest. That's my best impression I've ever done.
Yeah.
Bill Russell got 11 championships.
I think it's been a long established on this podcast. I can do one impression, and it's the guy from Jinx, that HBO documentary that came out.
Robert Durst.
Robert Durst is my only impression. Is a deep cut. So
it is a good one, though.
It's the only one I got.
So. Speaking of fucking deep cuts, I went to see Zach Brown on Friday. This is where I think I've contracted COVID because my friend decided to get it again. So I was like,
You saw a little Zach Brown on Friday. I was in the house with the real GOAT. I went and saw Garth Brooks.
Oh, Garth Brooks played Gillette Stadium not too long ago, and I know one of his songs, so I'd be a terrible person to go to a concert with there. But
if you go to a Garth Brooks concert, boy, it's a marathon. Eight man play for 3 hours and 15 minutes.
I don't get it. Like,
does he just do covers? Because
These guys aren't good, right? Like, it's like kind of like a novelty.
If you don't remember, you were a little young. Garth Brooks in the mid-90s was an unstoppable menace. Like, hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yeah, I was about to say, Ty, it was crazy. Every song he sang, I was like, I don't know that many Garth Brooks songs. And he would pull out just banger after banger.
Dude, he was so big that he made an alter ego album, Chris Gaines. He just became a different person and pretended he was that person.
But, like, it's good. Like, the music's good. I can't imagine.
You heard Friends in Low Places. That's a fucking hammer.
That's him?
Yeah. Friends.
I thought that was, like, from the 60s.
I don't know. No, it's definitely Garth Brooks.
I thought this was a cover from, like, the 60s.
You know Shameless. Shameless.
I know Friends in Low Places and then Rodeo.
Friends in Low Places is a hit.
Yeah, it's a hammer. I mean, I showed up in boots. I loved it. That's a good one.
I want to get KP singing a little more. What do you get, KP?
Yeah, that was really good.
I mean, you're gonna have to play maybe some Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson, bro. Maybe next podcast I'll just sing the intro.
That's Alan Jackson. He sings It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? With fucking dumb Jimmy Buffett.
Helps.
I'll tell you, music really peaked. if you guys have seen Jagged Little Pill, that documentary on that's where music peaked. It doesn't get better than Alanis in the 90s.
Alanis, that was a big album, Jagged Little Pill.
Have you seen the documentary on HBO? It's fucking awesome.
She dated Ryan Reynolds for like years. That guy puts up numbers. I mean, let's face it, he's put up numbers. He married Scarlett Johansson and Blake Lively.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
That's elite.
He's the funniest, most good looking person.
What did you say?
He's got like a Derek Jeter type list of women he's dated.
Yes, yeah.
He's just perfect. Like, he's just funny. Like, you want to be like, Harry, he's too good looking to be that funny, but he is just that funny.
He was Van Wilder, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I was at Zac Brown on Friday, and I mean, I've gone to probably, this has to be close to 10, maybe 11 times I've seen him. I saw him so long ago that when I was a member of his fan club in 2011, he played Mansfield. Whatever the fuck they call it these days. I mean, I think it's like the Xfinity Center, but it was the Great Woods when I was younger. And if you were a member of his fan club, they made you dinner at their trailer, and you sat at their table, and one member of the band sat with you. And that's how long ago it's been since I've seen
Tony him. Really is an OG.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is we're about like, I don't know, 11 minutes into the podcast, and for some reason, we're burying the lead completely. We're talking about 1990s. This is why this podcast can't get off the ground. Tony gets a retweet. We don't even discuss it at all from Tom Brady.
That's the good bit.
We're a Patriots podcast. Tony's replied to every single one of Tom Brady's tweets.
I want to get this off my chest, though.
For like 3,012 tweets in a row, he's responded to every single one, not even a like. Finally, he gets a quote tweet talking about it.
It's so much better than a retweet, too.
He was like, no, Garth Brooks, he had some hits.
The only reason.
1998.
Listen, I have to get off to my chest that Zac Brown is hacking through these concerts now. There was a 35-minute jazz set in it with Zach wasn't even on stage. The encore was 4 songs. Zach sang 2 of them. They used to do covers. Fucking, they did Poison. Zach wasn't even there. They did fucking all these songs. Whatever. It's play the hits. Play the hits.
Oh,
you know what we're there for.
We hit that for the Billy Joel concert we went to.
How about something for us, Zach? How about something for us?
Billy Joel walked on stage and he goes, you guys don't know this one. This is off the B-side from 1972, but it meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
We don't care what anything means to you, Billy.
Billy, go listen to it on the way home while you drunk drive through somebody's fucking front lawn in Long Island. No one cares about that. But
can we get to the quote tweet? Enough about Zac Brown.
Okay, let's break it down. Fucking minute by minute.
I've been humble on air
for fucking, what has it been, 2 days? Is that Monday, Tuesday? I can't keep track anymore. I've literally had diarrhea since. I can't keep track because it's go Twitter, go through a million retweets that I get, a million likes, sometimes a mention, and then I'm back to the toilet. That's literally been my life for 3 days. But like, I don't know, whatever. It was the meaningless. So I think I was at work or whatever I was doing. I definitely was at work. And then Tom Brady tweeted something at Jamar Chase about Madden and all this stuff.
Jamar Chase got on Madden. Madden ranked him the 10th best receiver in the NFL. And he didn't even make 10. He didn't make top 10? So he's like, 11th or 12th?
That's why
like,
he was bad.
Best receiver? He tweeted something out. Brady responded, don't worry. In my second year, Madden didn't even put me in the game.
Right. And then I saw... I had seen that picture before. So I just Googled quick. I was like, Tom Brady, 2002 Madden. And it popped up. It was like the third picture.
What does the picture look like?
It's literally what I tweeted. It was the exact same thing.
I know what it looks like. I'm telling you to explain it.
We know what it is. So whatever.
The tweet, Tyler. So, why are you asking me to explain it?
It's a screenshot of the Madden rankings of the Patriots quarterbacks going into 2002. So it has Bledsoe, Michael Bishop, John Freese, and then it says QB number 12, who's the fourth on the depth chart, and then it's rankings like 61 overall, 57 speed, 50 strength, and then it said like 41 awareness, whatever. So I just tweeted it out and I just wrote GOAT above it. And, this is a fucking side. This is like literally, I do this 14, 15 times a day. So it wasn't really anything I thought of. I've definitely had hundreds and hundreds more better tweets than that, Adam. And obviously never even garners a like.
Dead serious, ballpark it. Are we talking? I would have to say it's got to be over like 700 or 800 Tom Brady tweets you have.
100? 1,000.
It's good. You got to be in the thousands, right?
If you had to average it, I'd say I tweet probably 500 times a week.
During football season.
Oh, during the off season. During regular season, it's 1,000 tweets a week. And 800 of them have something about Tom Brady in it. Like what he used to do and why he's better than everybody there. But anyway, so I just tweet it there, not thinking of anything. Put my phone down. Probably go take diarrhea. And then come back and my phone's a-buzzing. And I look down and my... You know, it was like that scene in The Mask when he sees Cameron Diaz, you know, like for the first time, and his mouth just literally hits the fucking counter and his eyes pop out of his face. I was like, there's no way. There's no way. Because, like, you know how, like, sometimes you'll get a tweet at, like, by someone that names themselves, like, a famous person? Like, I do, because I have a Colin Quinn, fake Colin Quinn account. Yeah. So we'll say, like, Colin Quinn retweeted you or something. So I was just like, oh, Tom Brady, fake Tom Brady. And I'm like, it's the real fucking guy? And it was fucking, I swear to God, text. It was like a waterfall of texts from my friends and, like, from fucking people I didn't even know. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck? And it just blew up. And I tried to reply, tried to get hot. You know, I got cocky. I was like, jump on the Malcolm Go podcast. I was going to go home. I was going to record a podcast right there. I would have done it in the toilet. Just a quick five, Tom. A quick five. I'll say congratulations with Tampa. Now on to the real stuff. And we'd get deep. I'd be on them on about 2000. I mean, we'd break down 2000 to 2020, me and him.
We've seen you interview. You would have been like, oh, you're so fair. Yeah, it would have been nothing but you.
100% like, would be the Chris Farley SNL skit with Paul McCartney. Remember when you were with the Patriots?
I can't remember. When you texted me, I was like, this can't. No. This just can't.
Did you guys see the Clayton Kershaw interview yesterday after the All-Star game?
Yeah,
Watch it, but yeah.
Yeah, like a 12-year-old kid, like, is just like, hey, like, my grandfather's bucket list thing was to meet you, but he passed away.
Yeah. That's going to be me.
That's Tony. Like,
my
Tony's
kid is going
just,
to do that.
Just one retweet from the GOAT.
If you don't think that's getting framed in my house, you are sorely mistaken. That's how embarrassing a fan I am. I'm going to frame a retweet and put it on my wall. So anyway,
it's not
going to
look out of place.
It's not. It really won't. This whole basement, there's 300 pictures of Tom Brady and two of my family.
Like, why are the followers blacked out? Don't worry about the followers.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, and then it just fucking went a little viral from there. I was fucking at home and my cousin texted me. He's like, Tony, is this you? And it was in fucking Sports Illustrated. It was in Bleacher Report, Nesson. By the way, I didn't give John Henry fucking clearance from my intellectual property, by the way. So cease and desist
on
that.
Cease
and desist, John Henry.
Either that or we want third base. You can just give us third base.
Yeah, exactly. Let me take BP at Fenway, at least. Or I'll give me a beer for half off one day. I am taking my daughter to Fenway Sunday. Looking forward to many $12 beers.
Was it a day game?
Yeah, it's her birthday, so I was going to take
it.
It's
going to
be
97
degrees. We'll be there. I have no there's no chance we make it past the third inning, me and a little girl.
I was about to say, over under three innings. That was going to be
not even a
chance.
That's
what you want to do. You just want to torture Yaya by putting her in the sun on her birthday.
She'll love it.
98.
She'll love it. I'm going to go and get her an ice cream, take a few Instagram shots, and then we're gone.
Do you have shade seats or what?
Yeah, they're shaded. I could go inside and just eat.
Oh, you get the real deal seats.
Oh, yeah. You think I'm slumming it? Come on. I'm a fucking retweet receiver. I'm a quote tweet receiver. One-time quote tweet receiver. You think I'm sitting in the goddamn sun? No chance. I'm going to make shirts. I already changed my Twitter profile to one-time Tom Brady quote tweet recipient. That's literally my bio now. Yeah, so it just went viral. It was fucking nuts. A nuts day, and nothing could have went wrong. I literally wanted to walk into my house like stone cold. Because my wife has been telling me how much time I've wasted on Twitter, since we've been married, and how many times we've almost got divorced because of it. And I wanted to walk in here and just break the glass like stone cold with the cocky head swinging left and right, just like holding the belt. I needed to fucking hold the belt. What?
Was she happy for you?
Yeah,
she was very happy for me.
Yeah.
She knows how much that meant to me.
She was going to pass away.
Wait, we need her. Does she think you've peaked?
I think everyone thinks I've peaked. I think I think I've peaked. There's like, I had like five moments in my life. It's like, I had three kids, I got married, I bought a house, and then that's it. Like, not even a real interaction. The only thing that could have made it better is if he put Tony in the quote tweet.
Oh, boy.
He just put, you know, he reacted to it, but he did, you know, retweet my post.
Or if he like replied again and was like, well, I've seen 6,384 of these. I figured I had to give you one.
If he razzed me, I think I might have went into a corner. Like, if he ever gave me, like he was disappointed in me type, like, if he retweeted to something like one of my disappointment tweets, and that was the way he, like, even this was like a nonsensical tweet, you know what I mean? It was like a throwaway nothing, and he retweeted, which is great. If it was like a good tweet, like, where I love you, and he said I love you too, like, that would have been, that's peak. That would have been the absolute best moment. If he like, if he quote tweeted something where I was like negative towards him, that would have been a problem for me.
He's done some like corny like Twitter shit where he was like, someone was like, "Oh, if I get 10,000 likes on this, like, can I come meet you?" And then they'll be like, "Yeah, sure," like 10,000 retweets, and then gets like 5,000. Goes, "Well, maybe if it gets 6,000, I'll come." It's like no one's like even responding to his marketing campaigns.
Yeah.
What he doesn't know is I'm looking at, I don't know, 4 TV12 books on your bookshelf, which is tough to call it a bookshelf because it's only 7 Patriot books.
Yeah, it's all it is. It's not a bookshelf as much as it's Patriot DVDs without a DVD player and 12 books I haven't read about the Patriots, but they look good. The bindings are mint because they will not get cracked.
No.
Anyway, and then I was just rolling out tweets after that with memes and GIFs. But
your Twitter tear after the tweet, the vasectomy tweet might have been the best usage of Twitter I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
When I said I could get my wife pregnant through this vasectomy because of how horned up I was after that. Dude, I was flying. I told my brother, he's like, there's no way. And he looks, he's like, oh my fucking God.
I texted you, nothing from them. I'm just a little jealousy. Little jealousy.
No, dude, believe me, there's two things that he's jealous of right now is the Tom Brady quote retweet and my gazebo. And there's nothing, and I repeat, nothing worse than gazebo jealousy. Okay?
Gazebo jealousy.
He'll shit on my gazebo left and right. And do not disrespect the gazebo. Okay? I've been working so hard, by the way, on my project. My summer project was put a patio in my front yard, which Tyler graciously helped put electrical to my gazebo. We built a gazebo, about 18 hours worth. Cocked it today. Baby looks mint. Looks perfect.
I'm going to be honest. City. I left Sunday. The power to the gazebo wasn't working. I get a text Monday. You don't have to come back. Yeah. You guys hired someone. Someone else came in here.
You were really good at doing that for free. He came over here and fucked it up. It was perfect. And then, I put it back together on Monday. Got it figured out. And then now we're rolling. Now I get gazebo. And my brother's, he's jealous of the gazebo. Can't blame them. Thing was fucking money.
Yeah, the Lil Conti boys, jealousy runs deep in the Lil Conti boys. They're all fighting for...
I'm number one. Everyone knows it, so they're all fucking jockeying for second, really.
Yeah, Dom's best move is pretending that he's not even in the race anymore.
Yeah,
he's like, please. I'm just going to go this way.
My nephew asked what he was doing at a party the other day. Dominic showed up to the party, and he was like, Uncle Dominic, what are you doing here? My nephew Leo.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, Uncle Dominic, what are you doing here? It was a family party. That's how perfect it was.
Leo's a sweetie pie. Yeah. To be fair, I was in the car one time with Dom driving somewhere, and Dom got a call like, hey, you coming to the family cookout? And he's like, when is it? He goes, right now.
It's happening today.
Why didn't you guys tell me? I'm like, no, I'm not coming. You're like, what the fuck you mean you're not coming? Like, everyone got pissed at him.
He's the king of an Irish goodbye and like a never, and like a not show, or like a show up late and leave in 15 minutes move. Like, he'll be like, I'll come over to the Patriots game. He'll show up at halftime and leave before the third quarter starts. And he'll be like, oh, that was it. That was part of it, I guess. He's got nothing to do. But now he's all.
He downloaded Elder Ring, which is a great game.
I don't even know what that is. You are way below. You're so far away from me. We still got to talk about the quote tweet. So listen, how many people has he quote tweeted? If we had to break it down, can't be many. I know he does like hack accounts. I mean, this guy. What does he do? He builds brands, wins Super Bowls, trains for football, and he quote retweets his best friend. That's all he does. He does like four things. Does like interviews for higher end magazines, fashion shoots, and then when he's got a little time, he quote retweets his best bud.
Let's be honest. So Brady has won 7 Super Bowls, right? Climbed his way from the gutter all the way to the absolute peak. And now if you follow him on Twitter and stuff like that, he's like hawking this underwear and shit like that.
Yeah.
He's faking these weird videos. He's doing some weird. He is on the decline. Tony is only going up.
It's a fucking to the mountain. There's going to be a certain segment in this parabola where our arcs meet. somewhere in
don't
the middle.
Don't sleep on like 2032 where Tony's retweeting Tom Brady. That and Brady's like, oh shit.
Everyone's going to say.
Did Tony then, just retweet me?
What do you call it? What do they call it? The start, the genesis of it all is going to be the quote retweet.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, it's going to be Tom's going to be like, no, he'll be down there, something like burning, something like that, be down on the bottom with just selling underwear with his $1 billion. And I'll be up there.
Giselle's going to take everything.
I'll have $800 and I'll be way up at the top. And he'll be like, I can't believe I got him going with that quote tweet.
Yep. Giselle's going to get divorced.
He's a menace. He's a menace.
Probably got Tom to sign like reverse prenup where he actually has to give everything away.
He's gonna be everything you made also is coming to me.
He's going
to
be on the street and Tony's going to take him in.
All that undie money. Oh, he can hang. He can lay here anytime he wants. He's going to have to work for a quote tweet though. I got to work for it. He's going to have to work for it.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, that's 10 years plus. When did he join Twitter? Because it was I responded to every single one of his tweets and Instagrams. And the Instagrams are much more sappy, but he can't quote tweet those.
He joined in March of 2019.
2019. So whatever, how many tweets he's done since March of 2019 is how many tweets I've responded to.
That's the funny thing is like when you're like, I've responded to every one of his tweets, you've responded to every one of his tweets.
Yeah, probably.
Like 99%.
Miss you, love you. Miss you, love you.
No, I really don't think it's a probably. I think like you have.
There's just a lot of miss you, love you in there. Miss you, love you. Miss you, love you. Yeah, so it felt great. I mean, I'll tell you what. How many people get that? How many people get that moment? Not many. Not many get that moment. I feel like that's step one in best friendship. There's, you know, the eventual, quote retweet, and then there's the you know, DM, and then there's the meetup where he invites me to his house in Tampa.
Yeah, where are you, Tony? I'm actually down in Florida.
Funny
Tony's
you should ask.
Tony's in his living room looking
at
flights.
I'm at Busch Gardens.
I just got to Florida like a couple hours ago. Like,
you should come over and go in my pool. I was like, you know what? I could go for a dip. And I'd say bye to my family.
It
bye.
Is hot. Yeah.
Bye. It is hot out here in Florida. The humidity is what gets you. And then sooner or later, I'm catching slants in fucking Wyoming every summer. Every offseason, I'm catching slants. I got to put in the work. Got to put in the work for the goat.
How old are his kids?
Such a good tweet. It was unbelievable, that tweet you said. We catching slants in no time.
Oh, fuck yeah, I'm catching slants. You think I'm going to go over the middle for him? Please.
But
I'm fucking going. I ain't going alligator arm. I'm fucking going full. I'm extending. I'm going full extension with those arms.
Let's be honest. What you would be doing is you'd be the center. You'd be just snapping balls.
How good would I be? Yeah. He wouldn't even let me snap them. I'd have to toss them back like a coach would do. Yeah. Just meh. Toss.
Just snapping balls back to Brady.
You know, like when you play. What do you play? What's that thing when you play like when you're like a T-ball and like a little league coach and just throw the ball up?
Oh, farm.
Yeah, you throw it up to the kid and he hits it off the fucking chain link fence. Yeah, soft toss.
That'd
be the soft toss snapper.
How quickly would you get in a stance start pointing out linebackers?
Ah, please. I'd be calling out the mic left and right. Tom, invisible's the mic. Invisible's the mic because it'd be no defense.
Yeah.
Or the fucking his dog. His dog's the mic.
Hey, get in deeper. Get in deeper on this one, Tommy.
Oh, yeah. Get under there. I want you under there.
I can't believe this happened. To all people, though, for it to happen to
you. Can't
you,
fuel that fire.
No, you can't do that because it's just going to get worse now.
Creates a monster. It's like the Stranger Things monster where, I mean, spoiler alert, where 11, like, turned.
I haven't
took,
seen it.
Whatever. It's Here fucking a kid's show. He fucking, she makes the fucking monster basically stronger by, like, eliminating him into the fucking underworld. And that's basically what Tom Brady did to me is he 11'd me into the underworld and made me a stronger monster.
There's not a single other person. Like, if that happened to anyone else, it really wouldn't matter that much. It'd be like, oh, Tom retweeted. That's cool.
Yeah.
This has been Tony's life.
No, it was weird. It's a very big deal because, and everyone's going to be like, it's not a big deal. Like, some guy was very funny. He was like, motherfucker acting like he invited you to his wedding. I was like, he kind of am.
Yeah, I
big fucking
feel
deal.
Like that. Yeah.
I was like, look, it's step one best friendship, and he took. He was like, you know what, you're right. But everyone was mostly was there was not negative. There was no negativity except for that one guy. But I think I
think that's
I took
negative.
That.
That's just funny.
No, it was just funny.
Yeah.
And I was and then everybody else was just very supportive. They were like, you just got quote treated by Tom Brady. Like that got somebody told me you got quote treated by Tom Brady. You can shut it down. I was like, dude. You're fucking absolutely right. And I was like, I did the George Costanza. My work's done here. Fucking, I got nothing left on this app. And that got 100 retweets. The fucking GOAT retweet that he retweeted is going. It's still going. It won't stop. It's, oh, it's all day. Look,
it's go. Wild. I was just looking at it. You're doing numbies right now.
It doesn't
now.
Stop. It's like up to like 5,000 retweets. It just never stopped. I was fucking published and fucking spot as seen by, that should be me from now on. As seen in Sports Illustrated, as seen in Bleacher Report, as seen in Tom Brady's Twitter profile. By the way, I'm number two, his number three tweet right now. I think I put it as my header photo. It's a whole thing now these days.
Somebody said, all his tweets go
what are
this
your plans for retirement? What are your plans for retirement? These are fucking funny.
Yeah. Everyone loved it. So I love that everyone was supportive because they knew how hard I've worked for it. And everyone was like, you did it. You fucking did it. You cocksucker. You did it. It's like, you know, like Jimmy, what do you call it? Like when Jimmy finally steals all the armored truck in Goodfellas. If I had my fucking soundboard working and my daughter didn't ruin it, I'd be playing right now when he goes, Jimmy, slap in the shower. That's what it felt like for all my fans out there of the Malcolm Go podcast. Who can support on patreon.com/MalcolmGoPodcast, by the way. $1, $5, $12 accounts. You can get koozies. You can get stickers. You can get pint glasses.
We can.
Sweatshirts. Anything you want. Just join patreon.com. Let's fucking go. I'll send you anything you want. I'm a fucking quote
ethically,
tweet. I'm a quote tweet recipient.
Ethically, we can't allow anyone to join yet. We put zero content on there. Ethically, it would be completely immoral.
I put the unad
anyone.
Unedited episodes go right on there.
You know what else was wild about the picture that I'm looking at the picture? The Stanley Cup was 64.
Fucking dial up internet over here. Is he kidding me with this? What did you just say, dial up?
Does kind of
we lose him?
No, it does kind of feel like this is how KP talks around like 11 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Yeah, that's when he's fucking the chewing tobacco starts drooling out of his mouth.
Just drinking wild turkey.
It's better.
No one can understand you, fucking deer country. Like, what did you just say? Are you laughing and
gone?
We're
gonna wrap this up, anyways. We have to.
This guy is fucking. He's just unbelievable. I can't be running a professional podcast or what? You're in studio.
What's coming up? What do we have in the next 6 weeks to expect? We're going to do 1 to 2 preseason pods.
The boys should go to a fucking training camp session. Do a live pod at the training camp.
I think.
Would they let us bring an audio in? They couldn't possibly bring an audio device in.
Yeah, for sure.
Your phone.
Would they really?
What? We could definitely get press.
But I have a portable podcast thing.
We might be like a couple years too late. Like, 4 years ago, we probably could have, like, been at training camp.
I would think that would have been worse, like, if you started bringing in mechanical machines.
Because now I think everyone understands what podcasts are, and they'd be like, oh, yours is.
You don't think I can get you don't think I could pull off a fucking interview with Matt Judon at fucking training camp?
I mean, I'll go. You get me in there, I'll go.
Yeah, there's only four, and they're always, like, during the day. It's like, Tuesday at 8 a.m. I'm like, fuck you, Tuesday at 8 a.m. That's what they pick. They don't give you, like, a nice Saturday. One of them is the fucking horseshoe tournament. We can't go to that.
You could just tell them you got retweeted.
For the next six weeks,
that's true.
I'd
be on the fucking field.
We're going to do probably like after game two of the preseason, we'll probably do a pod, kind of break down what the roster's looking like, where we think it's going. We'll do a finalized roster.
If I'm around by then, by the way, I might be fucking up somewhere else. Who knows?
Yeah,
I might be at some higher land. It might be dropping you guys like a bad habit.
Oh, this guy.
I try to get Stool Presidente to fucking notice me after that. Didn't work.
Nah, fuck that. You can leave. You can't leave me. I'm family, bitch.
I don't like your days in bed. And I don't like that you fucking podcast from your bed either.
Is he
naked a mustache.
Again?
And he has a mustache.
Okay. He's always
He's
naked.
Shirtless with a mustache and glasses. And he's got a days in bed, and I don't like it.
I'm getting shit on. This is inappropriate. Fuck off.
Here he goes again. Fucking buffer. Hey, buffering fucking Kenneth from fucking Arkansas. So we're going to nickname you. Look, this fucking guy, can you imagine? KP goes, oh, I'm going to come up there, y'all. Going to go to one of them games with y'all. How about the Bengals game on Christmas Eve? Kenneth, I've got 3 children. What makes you think I can go to the Patriots game on Christmas Eve?
That made me think I could go to the Patriots game on Christmas Eve.
Oh, and with my tickets in your dreams.
Well, yeah, what the fuck?
So we got probably 2 to 3 podcasts preseason. And then
we're off to the races.
The lead up to the Dolphins game, we're looking at what?
What are you guys excited to see in training camp? I'm one off the top of my head is Trey Nixon. I'm excited to see.
By the way, the first thing we should have talked about, fuck your quote tweet, was N'Keal Harry. That should have been mentioned.
Forgot about that guy already.
This is so great that he doesn't have to get brought up on this podcast anymore.
But how,
I am so happy.
The Patriots are playing Chicago on a Monday night at home this year.
I think it's a lock that he catches a tutter. I think he catches
fucking please. He's going to get 12 receptions that game for 140.
He's probably going to be in a decent in offense he doesn't have to think in.
They stink. The Chicago Bears have gone 50 years without having a good wide receiver. They had Alshon Jeffrey and what's his face?
No. They had Robinson. They didn't have
Alshon. Both. Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey at the same time.
When did they have him?
Oh, no, I'm thinking Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey at the same time. And then they had fucking Allen Robinson. I don't even know how many other number one wide receivers they've had. They've wasted them all. They haven't had a good wide receiver or made a receiver good since fucking Willie Gault in the 80s. What a pull by me.
Wow. Look at this guy.
By the way, rip Charles Johnson, 2001 Patriots champion.
We had a question. We had a question for the podcast.
A lot of questions. I want them answered immediately.
Are you ready? Tony and Tyler. The man tweeted a whole graph. I texted it to you.
I didn't understand the graph. I can't understand a bar chart.
So, if the Patriots start running zone and outside runs, Ramondre's going to start. It says he's going to destroy zone concept, and this is Damian's last year. What do you think?
I don't necessarily like it. It's weird because I don't think it really matters who starts with running backs. They're going to end up, especially those two, they're going to wind up with the same carries, I think. It's just going to get closer to the same. Like,
here's what I think is going to happen. I think you're going to see either – I think it's going to play out by training camp. You're going to see what's going to happen because Damian Harris is very valuable. Ramondre Stevenson was nipping at his heels all last year, and they drafted two running backs inexplicably because Damian Harris is in a contract year. So
pass down paid running backs.
Literally see them trading Damian Harris in training camp to a team. Like if somebody like a championship contender, say like fucking say Tennessee, like Derrick Henry blows out his knee. Could you see him fucking trading Damian Harris there for a third round pick?
I wouldn't hate just riding out Harris and having him be like, you know, it's going to be like a drive where Stevenson gets six or seven carries or whatever, coming out of the backfield a little more. And then Harris is the goal, like red zone back.
Yeah, I love them. I mean, look, they're both good. And then now you got Pierre Strong, who's supposed to come on. Then they got that other kid from NC State that I've never heard of, but apparently is like a Ramondre clone. And then you got James White, who I think it might not play, to be honest with you.
Oh, my guy.
He's never played.
Yeah, he's like, they said he's like still wobbling, can't even walk.
We need him.
I think Bill might have did him a favor by giving him the old re-sign. Just to see if we can get him back on his feet in rehab. I don't know if it's going to happen for him.
We need that back bad. We don't have a third down back.
I think they're going to try and make Pierre Strong that guy. And I just watch Pierre Strong highlights like at work sometimes and just get amped.
He's the fastest person. By the way, between him and Thornton, we're just fast now. We're just a fast.
Have we ever had a rookie third down back?
No.
Ever. Not even
maybe
we
Kevin,
don't even have
maybe
like a
Kevin Falk in 98. Okay, well,
we don't even have a third year guy do it.
We also had never had a rookie quarterback till last year, so we're in. We're in on the rookies.
Drew Bledsoe did it. You got to fucking get young at some point. I mean, what I'm nervous about is I still think they need to bring back Hightower. As just a veteran leader.
Where is he? He's just sitting
out there. What about Laxon? He's probably got a gazebo somewhere. He's hanging out.
He's got a nice gazebo.
You know he's in his gazebo.
What about Trey Flowers? What about Trey Flowers? I think you need him to.
Oh, Trey Flowers was in the North End, got married in Boston. Must have got married to a Boston girl. And, fucking now he's off in like on an Italian vacation. But like when he was in North End, I was like, oh, it's finalized. Like I just thought that he was here to sign with the Patriots. But apparently it was to get married. Which who gets married in Boston? But he must be marrying a Boston girl.
The guy's from small town Arkansas. He probably thought he was like at the nation's capital.
Everyone keeps saying we have no depth at linebacker. I kind of sneaky like that position. I think that guy, Mack Wilson, we picked up. We have a couple guys who have like been sitting in the wings who just didn't play the last couple of years because of injury.
Yeah.
The younger guys are coming into their third, fourth year. And we have like 12 safeties who play linebacker.
Yeah, I'm not worried too much about the linebacker. I think he's going to have a lot of speed and a lot of depth at safety and linebacker. Cornerback, I'm worried about. But like I said, we have so many safeties that, like, we'll be able to play just – they're going to play zone this whole year. But so like, there's no way they're going to be able to man down anybody.
Who's going to guard Tyreek Hill the two times we play him? Me?
Who do we need to? Like,
Jones.
Who can you put out there who can catch an underthrow?
Yeah.
That's what we have to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, Tua really – I mean, he's not as good as Mahomes, so it makes a difference. Like, but Randy Moss went to Oakland and just didn't do shit, remember? Nobody remembers that. Randy Moss went there. He was the guy before Tyreek Hill that was better than Tyreek Hill, taller, faster, and unstoppable. And he went to fucking Oakland, and they just forgot he even existed. He came back to New England, unstoppable.
I also read old Jimmy G might be heading on down to Miami, and it would be funny if Brady.
A problem.
That would be a great move. A lot of crossing routes to Jimmy, and just let him go. And he's a running back. Do they have one?
I don't know who the running back is. Raheem Mostert, is that right? But anyway, Jimmy G down in Miami. Can you imagine the puss he'd get? Fucking cruising Miami Beach. No fucking slick back here in his guinea. He'd probably have a fucking cross chain outside of his wife beater. God damn it. That guy would be crushing.
Well then, what do you think about Brady coming to Miami the next year, taking his job again?
I'd say 110% Tom Brady's playing for Miami next year.
Well, because you saw Sean Payton.
Unless he wins the Super Bowl this year, I think it's a wrap. I think unless he wins the Super Bowl this year, he's going to play for Miami next year.
Did you not see what Sean Payton said? He said he's definitely going to get back into coaching. He said it today.
Next year, and they were like... But Miami just hired a head coach this year. How much of a dick would you have to be to fire your head coach after 1 year? It makes sense for Miami, but like you're a dick.
But that coach is going to be legit too. He seems like a real like.
And
smart.
Then you fire. So then here's the thing: you fire a head coach in Miami, and then you're supposed to interview minority head coaches. But everyone knows you're just going to hire Sean Payton anyway, and you're getting sued at the same time because for doing that exact thing. You know what I mean? For like just doing sham interviews with minority coaches. So that's basically literally what you'd be doing next year. You'd fire. I guess this guy's half black too. The coach, or he's a quarter, some type of minority, whatever. So you'd be firing a minority to hire Sean Payton. So basically, the guy got no chance. He'd get 1 year. He'd probably go 8-8 or 9-8, whatever fucking you can do now. And then they'll hire Sean Payton, and no one will notice. But. They should get fired.
I'll tell you what I do like is might be a little bit the Patriots' offensive weapons.
Kid loves weapons.
I think we have a lot of weapons
season on the pod.
You're so out of touch with the world today. You're so out of touch.
We have what? We have 4 number 2 receivers.
Please, we got fucking 20 number ones. The team is stacked with number ones right now. Tyquan Thornton is the next fucking Ocho Cinco.
Myers is going for 80 catches. Parker.
I love
catches.
How about Devontae Parker changes number to number one like a stud?
I love that.
Hunter Henry.
As soon as Harry left, I love
Hunter
that.
Hunter Henry, big year.
You get the fuck out of here. I'm taking that number.
Jonnu might do something.
Showing respect to Julian Edelman.
Jonnu does anything.
Jonnu's going to be a stud this year. I'm telling you, Mac Jones was out to dinner with him yesterday, him and Hunter Henry. The bros, the fucking tight end gang. They're probably throwing fucking. I bet that kid probably lives. They probably live in Winthrop and they're just fucking whipping fucking out routes to each other right under Logan Airport.
Still go Aguilar. We still get some.
Aguilar.
Aguilar should be.
They have too many wide receivers, but now they're going to do no fullback, and they're just going to go 4 wide constantly. I'm telling you, Trey Nixon's going to surprise. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes Jacoby Myers' job.
That's my bold prediction.
Pre-training camp is Trey Nixon takes Jacoby Myers' job.
How could he take his job? He's going to be the third.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be Parker, Myers, and your boy. That's 3. He's going to take. Aguilar Shaw, but whoever else like is
no. I mean, they don't do the same position. I mean, fucking Aguilar just is strictly outside. Nixon's an inside receiver. That's all Jacoby Myers does.
But Myers can play both. Myers is a better outside receiver than Aguilar.
He is. Yeah, he's just a straight line guy. He's gonna be. I mean, that's what Thorne can't come to do. Thorne came in to take his job. By the way, how high on bust alert are we for fucking?
I'm telling you this much. I was about to say, the first time he catches a 60-yard bomb from Mac, I'm buying a jersey. No matter if he's
buddy, I waited 5 years to buy a N'Keal Harry shirt. I wanted one so bad. I was so amped. I was like, this is Jerry Rice. He's the next fucking Randy Moss. We got him, finally. Tom Brady's going to make this guy a legend. And fucking 5 years later, I'm making bets with you that fucking he'll have 11 touchdowns.
I now own a jersey because of
I had to buy you one instead.
I'm telling you, first time.
First time Mac throws it to him 60 yards down the sideline, he catches the bomb, I'm buying one. It's happening immediately.
Everyone in New England, their like default favorite season is the summer.
Yeah.
Fall really is arguably better. The only problem is winter is just close to it.
Yeah.
If it went like, if it went winter, fall, then summer, fall would be everyone's favorite season.
Fall is the best.
Just knowing that winter's behind it is what sucks. But I love fall.
Is there anything
I can't
better than
wait for fucking fall?
And how good is this? I don't even know if we talked about the schedule this year, but the schedule is fucking elite. Like
it
every
is
single
good.
Home game that's not like they, I think they have a Monday night and a Thursday night, and then every single other home game is 1 o'clock for a season ticket holder. It does not get better, my friend.
Well, no, it's all nice. Like,
you're banged up by 10 a.m. You're home in bed by 6.
So many electric
North Shore
home
boy.
So many good home games.
So many good. And by the way, I did take heat on Twitter this week because I said that Cam Newton deserves some like if he's not on the roster this year, he deserves to get like invited to the stadium this year, like put him on the field. Like
honestly,
it doesn't have to be like a big thing, but like he could sit in Kraft's box and they can show him on the screen so that he can get his proper due. I mean, he came in an unwinnable situation. He was granted he wasn't good.
I don't hate Cam. Like I actually kind of like he's fine. Like he's just he's
no, but
fine.
He played as hard as he could. He just wasn't good anymore.
Yeah.
And he tried his hardest for the team, and there was no fans to see it. And last year, they showed his first touchdown with Carolina, and the fucking place went wild and berserk. Like, if you showed him, he'll get a great reception.
What if you bring Cam in for a N'Keal Harry role? Just to block.
Are you getting crazy here?
I know. I don't know what that means.
You think you can get Cam Newton for $1 million in fucking dreams?
It's almost, he's kind of almost like Lamar, where, like, people hate Lamar because Lamar is, like, he wins all, but like no one's taking Lamar over, you know, Mahomes or Rodgers or those or whatever, Herbert, like those top tier, like just pure arm quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He's below them, but Lamar is still awesome.
Yeah.
Like he can still be awesome without you having to be like, oh, he sucks because people overrate him. It's like, no, he's fine where he is.
Yeah.
He's fine as like a guy who's going to probably get you the one or the two seed, and he's going to be average in the playoffs. It's like that is fine to just be where you are.
If he was like a if he played in a warm city or he played in a dome, he would fucking absolutely obliterate teams.
Lamar?
Yeah.
Lamar is gonna
oh,
have
God.
He's not signing that contract.
Yeah.
If you have fantasy, take Lamar. Lamar is gonna dominate this year.
If he was like on the fucking Colts or something, he would have 1,200 rushing yards and 4,000 passing yards, and then they'd have the one seed, and he'd dominate in the playoffs.
He is going to light it up.
When it gets cold and your body's stiff and it's slippery on the – like, the Patriots beat Lamar when it was pouring in the rain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's
in
like just you got to neutralize him by fucking – the weather has to do it.
The field gets a lot smaller in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Everything gets tighter. Everything gets a little tougher, but – all right, we got to wrap this up.
Yeah, wrap it up. This was a good pod.
Great pod.
I think all due respect to me, what a legend. Everyone, this was all for you, the Malcolm Goers. I do all this for you guys. I put it on my chest. I leave it all on the field. I fucking play 110% in the Twitter game. I don't leave anything left. I defend every blade of grass, and this is all for you, the Malcolm Goers. And that's why you should join patreon.com/MalcolmGoPodcast and join us on the Discord, Malcolm Go Podcast, and just enjoy us. On Twitter, Brady Disciple, at Malcolm Go Pod, at maybe it's Tyler. And, you know, we're having a good time, enjoying ourselves, getting ready for the big season to start. And, you know, until then, thanks, Tom. I'll see you on the other side, babe.
Do your job! All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job! 7-8 months ago, right? All from this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game. Your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's
good.
Intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back is intercepted. Picked off by Kyle Long. 30, 25, 20, 15, touchdown. Touchdown. Kyle Long picks it off and takes it to the house.
Lewis. 4, Adams on a carry. 48-yard field goal attempt.
set to go. Snap, ball down, kick up. Kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over! And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the
league!
Hey!
Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you. You worked your ass off.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.